Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
See, it's at His feet that we hear His voice. His voice becomes clear again. Because out in the world, it gets very confusing. You don't even know what's right sometimes out there in the world. They've got so many good arguments for their cause and their way, their stand. And you think, wow, that does seem right. That does seem good. I don't get it. And then you have to go back to the Word of God to get recentered, to purify, and to cleanse yourself, to hear Him clearly. We get a better sense of priorities when we're in the Word of God at His feet. And it's there that we get refreshed and strengthened.
The only way to stay on the right path in your walk with the Lord is to stay in His Word. Pastor Troy warns you today that the world is full of different ideas. Even the Christian community is guilty of coming up with unbiblical concepts and placing them as the center of their doctrine. This being the case, it's crucial that you learn to study the Bible on your own and that you do it regularly. Only by sorting through God's Word on your own can you confidently hear His voice and realize His calling for your life. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 4 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We today have the Word of God. We don't need laws. We don't need a system. We have the Word of God, and it's alive. We're going to talk about a few aspects of the Word of God. The first thing is that it guides. The Word of God guides us. There are examples in the Scriptures. When we read Old Testament narratives, the stories in the Old Testament, some of the lives, David's life has been an example as we go through the Old Testament of good examples and bad examples. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, we read, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." So we see all of these examples in the Scriptures of, oh, God's, this is acceptable to God. Oh, we should not do this. Oh, man, we ought to trust the Lord and not grow weary because, man, there's penalty, there's consequences for not trusting Him and believing Him and doing things the way He says. So He says, let's be diligent to enter that rest, lest we follow their example. The Israelites, the example given that they failed in was that the Israelites were supposed to go into that land of promise. They didn't enter. What kept them out? Inability? No. Fear. They were afraid to go into the land. Because they were afraid, they didn't go in. And God said, okay, then you won't enter my rest. You guys will be wandering around. You'll never get to enter that place that you'd be able to establish your homes and build your lives. You'll just be wandering around. Some Christians live like that. God has all the answers in His Word. He would guide us. But we either don't see the wisdom of that counsel. It doesn't seem to suit us. We're not there yet. I'm not there yet. And so we wander around hitting the same problems, the same issues, causing the same problems in this vicious cycle. And it's never resolved because we won't enter in. The Word of God says, go in, do it this way. But for one reason or another, so many Christians won't just do it His way. We bring our culture into it. We bring everything into it to say it says something different. Or no, it doesn't say that anymore. And we're missing the one thing, the one cure for our life or for our situation. So Israel, because they didn't go into the land, they never got to experience His victory or His rest. The reasons that we don't do things His way, There are many, but just a couple are, one, we fear, we're afraid. We're afraid we can't do it. What if I fail? But that's not what God has asked us to do. And what is failure anyway? What is failure? Failure is not doing what God asks us to do, not the results of what come from that. So failure is not to do it. So our fear that we might fail there, which God has never said what's going to happen there, causes us to fail because we never do what God wants us to do. So the enemy, he's so wily, so tricky, causes us to fail before we ever enter in and get victory. Some of us fear that we'll miss out on something else. If I am all in for the Lord, I'm not going to get to do other things that I want to do with my life. But the scripture says that this life is but a vapor. This life is nothing. Your life is ahead. That's where you want to store your treasures. That's where you want to build up. Here, lay down your life. Don't try to do things and amass things and experience all that this life has to offer, because this life's values are totally skewed. They're off. So instead, focus on the Lord. Follow the Lord. Put him first, and I will give you life as if you never knew it could be experienced. Jesus said, life and life abundantly. That if you seek to gain your life here, you'd lose your life. But if you give up your life and you follow him, that he would give you life abundantly. The reason they didn't enter was because of unbelief. Whether it was fear that exceeded their faith, or just, I don't know, Lord, I don't know if you can take those giants. It was unbelief. And it's the same root cause for our not doing things God's way. We may think we have a little more insight, a little more wisdom. Maybe God's word doesn't really say that. But yet we have this piercing conviction that it is the word of God, that it is the Lord. So we never enter in, find that rest and that work that satisfies. And those family problems, they don't get resolved. Because what God's asking just doesn't seem like it would work. This book was written, again, to Jews that were in danger of missing out on everything God had in his rest, that joy of just worshiping and following and trusting in the Lord, because they were being tempted to go back to old familiar ways, ways they were used to, ways that were comfortable, and ways that would cause the rest of the family to stop resisting, stop pushing so hard with the persecution. They were used to busyness for the Lord, works, doing a bunch of things. And that made them feel spiritual. It made them feel righteous. But busyness, if you guys haven't learned already, being very busy can get you very tired. It'll burn you out. If you're busy in just things you think will honor God, this will glorify, this is the thing I have to do. I mean, if, say you're an emotional person, you're a very compassionate person, and people know how to take advantage of compassionate people. And so everywhere you go, there's someone trying to get something out of you. That can wear on you. Your heart is compassionate to give, but it's a drain. And you're like, oh, it shouldn't be a drain, Lord. And it's because your compassionate heart, we'll talk about this in a moment, why that's so, but your compassionate heart is not being led by the Lord. It's being led by guilt and emotion instead of by the Lord. And it drains us. Our busyness, our activity can be based upon guilt or a sense of, I have to do this, rather than being able to rest in certain times when God gives us rest. He leads us into times of rest. Some today in the church are so busy with spiritual activity. They're like, do you remember Mary and Martha? Mary and Martha. Jesus comes in and Martha gets busy. That's the thing they do. That's the cultural thing. We're going to get busy. We're going to prepare a meal. We're going to do all this stuff. Mary says, Jesus is here. What do you have to say? Oh, and she's at his feet. She's listening. Jesus is talking. One of the reasons she's listening. Martha was a little frustrated by her sister, came in and, Jesus, why don't you tell her to get up and do what she's supposed to do? And Jesus said, Martha, you're worried about a lot of things that are not even that needful. But she's chosen the better part, time with me, hearing my word, hearing what I have to say. How do you even know what to do if you don't hear what I have to say, right? So some today get really busy doing things without really hearing from the Lord. We don't spend time at his feet, which Jesus said is the better part. Time in worship, but time in his word. Listening, gleaning, letting him convict, letting him guide and direct. You see, it's at his feet that we hear his voice. His voice becomes clear again. Because out in the world, it gets very confusing. You don't even know what's right sometimes out there in the world. They've got so many good arguments for their cause and their way, their stand. And you think, wow, that does seem right. That does seem good. I don't get it. And then you have to go back to the Word of God to get recentered, to purify and to cleanse yourself, to hear him clearly. We get a better sense of priorities when we're in the Word of God at his feet. And it's there that we get refreshed and strengthened to do what he asks us to do. We need time at his feet. We desperately need time at his feet. In worship, in his word, and together with the body of Christ as we are gathered here today, so that he can guide us. So we have to be diligent to enter that rest, because it takes some discipline so that we don't fall into the same example of unbelief and disobedience that the others did. You know, it was 10 who said, no, we can't go in. And you know what happened? Those 10 said, we can't go in. And so the whole nation was influenced by those 10. 2 said, yeah, let's go for it. 2 said, here's the word of God, go get it. But the 10 gave a good enough argument that it convinced the entire nation, and that whole generation would never get to enter his rest. It's so important that we hear from the Lord, because everything and everyone around us can be so influential. And if they're not resting, if they're not hearing from the Lord, they're giving you opinions, ideas, decent counsel from their heart. When you start hearing people say things like, well, I think, well, my thing is, I think you should do, go, okay, that's good, you think that. Where's the Bible? What does the Bible say? Where's your scriptural basis for giving me that?
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on building on the solid rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's word with us. He'll have much more to share on the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about building on the solid rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
We need to go back to the scriptures. We need the scriptures to ground us and guide us. Why is it so important to get into the word of God? Well, he explains what it does. Verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Youch. No wonder you don't want to open that thing. It pierces and gets right past all of the nonsense, all of the excuses, and pierces the heart right where it needs to be pierced. So the word of God, it convicts, pierces like a sword. We see some dynamics of the word of God, how it's unlike any other book. You will never read a book like this one. First, it says it's living and powerful. Living and alive. It's like it knows what you're thinking. Have you ever opened the Bible and you're like, how does it know? I didn't know I needed this. There are things, it's like it's got eyeballs. And it's talking right to you. Well, it's living, it's powerful, it does a work. It's like a seed. The words jump into your heart. They pierce so they can get into that right place. And if the heart is not hardened, and if you don't just dismiss it altogether with your attitude of rejecting it, it will, because it's alive, it will produce a fruit. It will produce a work, because you'll go out. And that scripture, when you run into the situation where you used to act this way, all of a sudden that word starts to bloom. And you're like, oh, what's going on with me? I used to act this way. Or the friends, they ask you, hey, let's go to the club. And all of a sudden you're like, yeah. What's wrong? Cat got your tongue? No, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Something going on in my heart. Because the word of God starts to do a work. It reminds you of the priorities, and it tells you what you should do to honor the Lord and that he's there. It's alive, living, and powerful. Now, because we believe that here with all of our heart, then it is our desire to seek to always teach the scriptures. Not to gather points, not to gather any series or anything like that. Our series is Hebrews. And then say Romans or wherever we go, we're going to study the Bible. Because it alone, not my points, not my charisma, if there is any, not anything that I may have or come up with will change you. I can convince you like a good lawyer, but I cannot transform you. Only the Word of God can. So we must stay near and dear to the Word of God because it alone changes us. It's living and powerful. Our method is to go through the entire Word of God, verse by verse, in context, so that we cover all of it, because it's God's Word, not our points, that pierce man's heart. Since all of the scriptures are alive and powerful, we believe that we should teach all the Bible. Old, New Testament, we've gone through Revelation. We believe that all of it should be taught, because it gives us a balanced diet. Can you imagine? And this is something that I learned. We hadn't been in the Gospels for quite some time. We were in Paul's letters, and I wanted to kind of go through Paul's letters, all of Paul's letters. But what happens is, if you just stay in the letters, you can have a tendency to become a little more legalistic because you're so focused on laws and letters, and you know what it's like when you read certain scriptures. Those are the scriptures that start to pop up. Well, if all I emphasized was money and giving, then you guys would probably feel guilted into giving or leave. But every week, giving, or every week, serving, whatever it is, some would be feel guilted into that, and they'd be on board, and you got to serve. You serve. You're not a servant. And we'd have the servant language, our own language. But when we take the whole Bible, it balances everything for us so that we don't get too right and too left. This is one of the reasons that there have been debates by scholars forever. Some will take the right side and some will take the left side. Eternal security. If you ever sin, then you've lost your salvation. And there's another, oh, you can't lose. You know, and there's these constant divides. When you read the scriptures, it tells you both that you have to make a choice. At the same time, you can't save yourself. You can never even choose to save yourself. So there's that great tension in the scriptures that keep us balanced. You cannot experience consistent, balanced growth in the Lord without a consistent, steady, balanced diet of the scriptures. I mean, we need the Old Testament to find out why we even need the New Testament. Who needs a Savior if we didn't look back into Genesis and find out who we are and how we fell? The New Testament is irrelevant. We don't need a Savior. And so we need the balance of the scriptures. So it's living and powerful. It also says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It means it pierces. It pierces to where it needs to go. It's like an armor-piercing bullet. You know, on tanks, my son was telling me that on tanks, they actually, the armor is tilted in such a way that they can help bullets, even armor-piercing bullets, to help them glance rather than hopefully pierce. So it's designed in such a way that it glances instead of pierces. Some of us, our hearts are set up in such a way that we want things to glance. I'm only taking in what I want to. I already know what I believe. I already know what I got. So nothing can get in. Well, the Word of God, the truth, it pierces better than an armor-piercing bullet. Even the most defiant and hardest of hearts can't hide from the Word of God when it goes out. Now, they can deny it, they can defy it, they can get angry because of it, but it already got in there. and they have to deal with it. There's just something about the truth that pierces, even when we don't want to hear it. I heard the story of a missionary woman back, I think it was in World War II. The Japanese were holding prisoners, and in this case had some female prisoners, and they were mishandling the women prisoners. And this woman had an opportunity to share the gospel with one of the Japanese wardens. She said she could see his heart melt and tears forming in his eyes, and he went away and even cried to where you could hear him crying, because the word of God, the truth of it, pierced his heart. This wasn't him versus her. This wasn't, please stop doing this because I'm going to tell you some soft story. It was truth. It pierced his heart. She said that he never treated them the way he had been treating them again. His heart had changed. He had heard the truth. Now, whether he was saved in that moment or not, we don't know. But the word pierced him and transformed a part of his life, perhaps drawing him into that search for truth. Who is this Jesus? So it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Another thing, it's precise. The word of God is precise. It says, to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. The word of God goes in and it actually pierces so that it can feed what it needs to. You know what needs to feed? Your spirit. There's enough to feed our flesh. There's enough to feed our soul. But there's nothing that will feed our spirit but the word of God. Nothing. Nothing will strengthen us in our spirit. The Bible teaches us there are three basic parts of a man. The flesh. That's your body, obviously. It has its own appetites. You don't have to command them. You don't have to think them. They're there in the body. With the body, we communicate with others, our voice, all of these things, and we can serve the Lord with our body. Then there's the spirit of a man, the part that is able to commune with the Lord. We want to be spirit-led individuals by God's spirit, but our spirit leading the charge versus our soulish side. After the spirit, there's the soul. That would be the seat of the mind, will, and emotions. We reason. We can reason while our spirit's saying, here's what God's word said, while our reasoning is going, that makes no sense. And we got two things going. What the world's going on? Well, our soul side is trying to figure it out for itself. While the spirit, if it has any life at all, is going, it's very simple. You know, what God said, I'm not responsible for the rest. But the soul side, the mind, the reason, we're like trying to figure it out. And so often we are led by the flesh or the soulish side rather than the spirit side. The word of God is able to discern the difference between the soul and what's going on soulishly and what's going on spiritually, truly. Much of our activity can often be attributed to the soul side. I do this, like we talked about the example of I'm compassionate. It's not led of the spirit. It makes me feel better. I don't feel guilty, at least when I do it. If I do that, then I don't feel guilty. And we can lead, even our works can be led by the fleshly side or the soulish side. Our worship can be soulish rather than spiritual.
We are so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's study in the book of Hebrews. If you missed any part of today's teaching or would like to explore other Building on the Solid Rock messages, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You'll also find information about Pastor Troy and the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. to worship Jesus and learn all we can from the Word. You'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us here at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek and find God's hand in your life and that you enjoy learning more about Him every day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Hebrews right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in